If you have spent any time on social media in the last year or so, I think chances are probably good that you've seen the "how it started, how it's going" meme. Does this sound familiar to anybody? I see some young people nodding their heads. The idea here is that you kind of tell a story with two pictures, and people have been doing this on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. They'll post a picture to sort of illustrate how it started. And then they'll post a picture that illustrates how it's going. Some of them have been pretty uplifting, pretty exciting. Like under the "how it started" picture, you've got like a little kid in a Little League uniform. And then "how it's going," you've got this picture of a guy playing for the Blue Jays or something. Or you've got a kid dressed up as Spider-Man in his pajamas. And then "how it's going," he's the guy playing Spider-Man in the movies. Or a couple on their first date, "how it started," and then them at their wedding, "how it's going." Some of them, though, haven't been quite as uplifting. I don't know. Sometimes the "how it started" looks really good, and then it kind of goes sideways by the time the "how it's going" gets around. For example, there was one that kind of went viral of a young nurse looking fresh-faced and optimistic under "how it started." And then she posted a picture of "how it's going" after 14 hours in a shift with her mask pressed up against her face. "How it started, how it's going." That's the framework that I want to use to talk about the first 11 chapters of Genesis with you in this sermon series between now and Advent. Genesis 1 through 11 really tell us how it started. This is how the world began. This is how God's story began. In the course of Genesis 1 through 11, we're going to touch on a lot of very fundamental foundational concepts to Christian faith: who God is, who we are, what the world is all about. So we're going to talk about how it started. And then we're going to kind of pull ourselves forward each week and say, well, how's it going? How is what's happening now comparing to what God intended when it started? My hope for this series is that it will help you to kind of develop a Christian worldview, being able to see the world through God's eyes, through the terms of the book of Genesis. Because it really tells us the picture of what God intended when he created the world. So we're going to see how it started and how it's going line up. Today, we are going to start at the beginning because, as Julie Andrews says, that's a very good place to start. So let's go to Genesis 1:1. If you've got Bibles in front of you, you can open those up. Genesis 1, verse 1. The first verse in the whole of the Bible tells us where it all began. Does anybody know what the first verse is in the Bible? It's easy to find, Genesis 1:1. Just past the index. Not the index, the table of contents. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, when it all started, there was God. He existed before anything else existed. Nothing was except for him. He was all-powerful, all-knowing, not needing anything in and of himself. He existed. He was. And when the heavens and earth came into being, he was the one that called them into being. And verse 2 tells us what it was like when he did that. Now, the earth was formless and empty. There was nothing there. And darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Was there literally water there? Maybe, maybe not. Because in the ancient Near Eastern worldview, water is chaos. Right? It's just the symbol of chaos. So you've got here in verse 2, this picture. There is God and there is chaos, formlessness and emptiness and darkness. And yet, the Spirit of God was hovering over it, holding it all in place. Now, before we go any further in Genesis, I want to do a quick cross-reference with you, because even though you can't maybe see it here in Genesis 1:1-2, you have the whole of the Trinity at work here. Okay, we've got God, right? In the beginning, God created the world. That's usually when you think God in the Old Testament, you're thinking Father. You've got the Spirit here. That's two-thirds of the Trinity. Well, what about the Son? Think about John 1. How does John 1 start? He copies and pastes in the beginning. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. That means that even though his name does not appear in Genesis 1:1, Jesus was there. Jesus is the Word through whom all things were made. All things were made through him. Nothing exists that hasn't been made. Keep that in mind, okay? That when we say God, all through the Genesis account, we're talking Father, Son, Spirit. Jesus was there actively creating the world that he knew that he would have to die to redeem. You know, that's what really struck me in the last week or two studying Genesis, realizing that Jesus was there creating the world, knowing that he would have to die to redeem us. That shows, I think, how much he loves us. Just something to chew on for you. Genesis, look at the way the world is described in verse 2. The world was what? The earth was formless and void, the NIV says. There was nothing, just emptiness. And the Hebrew people had a neat word to describe that. Tohu wa bohu. It's a very Dr. Seuss-like thing. I remember learning this in seminary. I loved it. Tohu is formless. Wa is and bohu. So we've got this world that's tohu wa bohu. In the beginning, the earth is tohu wa bohu, and that wouldn't do. It wouldn't support life. And so God is going to do something about it. And we're going to see in the next few verses of Genesis 1 that God first deals with the tohu. He deals with the formlessness of the earth, and then he's going to deal with the bohu, the emptiness of the earth. So let me show you what I mean. And I am saying tohu, not tofu. Verse 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. And he called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. In the beginning, there was darkness. But then God created the light. He put light and dark in their place, day and night. God took the randomness of darkness and gave it form. He gave it structure. And God looked at it and called it good. Now, if you're wondering how there can be light when the sun hasn't been made yet, again, I think John 1 is helpful. John 1:4 says of Jesus, who was there, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And again, Revelation 21:23 says something similar. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. The light on that first day came from God himself. And so light and darkness are given form, alternating duties, right, for day and night. That's day one of creation. Day 2, verse 6, God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. Again, God is showing his power over chaos, right? The water is chaos. God says, this is what you do. And poof, now you've got the heavens, you've got sky, and you've got the water below. Day 2, Then day three, God said, let the water under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered seas he called, the gathered water he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then again, God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to its kinds. And God saw it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. So God separates the waters from the heavens on day two. And then day three, he separates the land from the water. So God is giving form to the chaos, right? He's dealing with the tohu. He creates the sky, the seas, the land, and then he puts vegetation of all kinds on earth to prepare for what would come later. And again, God looks at it and says, good work. Day three. Now I want you to see what God has done here. In the beginning, there's chaos, right? Formlessness and void, tohu wabohu. The first 3 days of creation, God has formed that formlessness, right? He has given shape to it. Now that he has formed the world, he is going to fill it. He's going to deal with the emptiness, the bohu. So in a sense, this creation account is almost like God putting out muffin cups on days one, two, and three to give it form. And then now, days four, five, and six, he's going to fill those muffin cups. Look at day four. God said, verse 14, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth. And it was so. God made two greater lights, the greater light to govern the day, the sun, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. He set them in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Then there was evening, then there was morning, the fourth day. So day one, what does God do? He forms evening and morning. Right? He's given it shape. Now he's going to fill it. Sun and moon. And notice to Israel's neighbors, the sun and the moon are gods that you worship. The sun and the moon are these celestial beings that deserve your honor and obedience and respect. What does God say here in Genesis 1:1? No, they're my servants. God creates the sun and the moon and says, okay, sun, you're in charge of the day. Moon, you're in charge of the night. Don't come out when the other one's on duty. And they obey. There's a very subtle polemical argument built in here for the people of Israel. God is sovereign over all things. Day four, God fills morning and evening with sun and moon, and it was good. Day five, God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and the living and moving things with which water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. What's he doing? He's filling the sky and the sea that he made on day two, right? Day five, God fills the waters and the skies, and it was good. Day six, God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. Livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to their kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that moving along the ground according to their kinds. And then God saw that it was good. He's filling now the land, right, that he created for them back on day three. And then, verse 26, God said, let us make man, let us make humanity in our image. Let us make man. Remember, Father, Son, Spirit, the word is there. Let us make them in our likeness. and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the earth, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So the diversity of the Trinity is reflected in the duality of male and female. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves upon the ground. Now, something is very important here. I don't know if you caught it or not. Up to this point, God has been creating everything according to what? Each according to its own kind. Right, just in the back of my head, I was counting as I was reading just now. Five or six times he says he made fish according to its own kind. He made wild things according to their kind. He made livestock according to their kind. Birds look like birds. Fish look like fish. But then in verse 26, God does something different. He says, let us make human beings to look like us. And he says, let us rule over the fish. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, the beasts of the field. This says two very important things about who we are as people. And I'll unpack those two. First, we are made in the image of God. Second, we are made to steward creation. This section of Genesis 1 says we are made in the image of God. Right, everything else looks like itself, but we are made in God's image. Who we are is a reflection of who God is, right? God's spiritual nature is expressed in our physical essence. We are moral beings because God is a moral being. We have the capacity to think and to love and to feel because God has the capacity to think and to love and to feel. You know, we reflect who God is, and that gives us intrinsic value. Black lives matter because they are made in the image of God. Every child matters because they are made in the image of God. All human beings, no matter who they are or what they do, are intrinsically valuable because we are all made not like fish, not like cows. We are made like God. Not only that, though, we are made to steward God's creation, right? He made us to take care of all that he had created. He's the creator. We're the caretakers. I mean, he says to the first human beings in verse 28, be fruitful and multiply, spread over the face of the earth, and rule over, have dominion, govern the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field. He made us to care for all that he had created, to use what he has created for our benefit, and to steward his creation as his representatives on earth. I think that that's clear from chapter 1, but in chapter 2, verse 15, it says explicitly, God took the man that he had made and put him in the garden to work it and to care for it. God made us in his image to care for all that he had made. And then having done that, verse 33, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. After the week of work, God looks back at all that he has made and says, well done. That's a very good world. Like Louis Armstrong said, what a wonderful world this is. 2 verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. What started as tohu bavohu, formless and empty, God formed and filled. He made day and night, sky and sea, land and vegetation, and then filled those things with sun and moon and birds and fish and beasts and critters, and then he made us to take care of it all. And then on the seventh day, he rested, not because he was tired, not because he pulled a muscle in his back, so that he could pause and look back at work well done. Verse 3 of chapter 2, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on that day he rested from the work of creating all that he had done. And I want you to see here that what was formless and void gets formed and filled, and God has moved us in this first 7 days from chaos to rest. That's how it all began. God made all things and then made us to take care of it. So let's stop now and think about what that means for us. I'm going to use that that kind of phrase, that idea to form our discussion. God made all things, and then he made us to care for it. First, God made all things. He's the creator. That means that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, worthy of respect and obedience. Everything that you see in the world is the way that is. Everything that you see in the natural world is the way it is because God made it that way, right? Sunsets and soil and the way that strands of silk turn into cobs of corn, it's that way because God made it like that. And the same attention and care that he put into making all of creation, he put into making each of you. I was interested this week to see Tim Tebow, the football player, tweet, "One thing is certain, you were created for a reason. You are not here by accident. It is by design that the creator of the universe designed you exactly as you are. He created you in his image with love, in love, and for love." It's a very profound thing for Tim Tebow to say. You're not an accidental outcome of evolutionary processes. You are here because God the creator made you exactly the way that you are. And he loves for you and cares you and is just as committed to you now as he was when he kicked all things off in the beginning. God made all things. He is the caretaker. He is the creator. We are the caretakers. He made us in his image to care for all that he has made. He gave us the responsibility of caring for his creation, of using his resources for our own well-being, and for seeing to it that it works in a good and orderly way, the way that God made it to be. All of you who are farmers are actively engaged in this, right? You are taking care of God's creation, taking the chaos of weeds and created it into orderly rows that produce things. That's a very godly thing. And I hope that you can see that as an act of worship, honoring God by caring for what he has made. But even if you're not actively caring for the land, you are still stewarding his creation. You know, certainly that means, sure, care about environmental things and have concern that red pandas are on the extinction list. But remember that we are all created beings. And so that means that the call to care for God's creation includes caring for one another. So if you're teaching students, you're caring for God's creation. If you are taking care of patients in a hospital, you are caring for God's creation. We are caretakers of all that God has made, including one another. So it really is a part of creation, our creation mandate, to care for other people. Every person, regardless of their color, class, or creed, is made in the image of God. And so they are intrinsically valuable. And so it is part of our job as creation's caretakers to care for them too. We are made in God's image to take care of all that he has made. Okay, let's wrap this up with one final question here. If we are made in the image of God to care for all that God has made, it kind of begs the question, whose image do people see in you? Do they see the character of God, the creative, gracious, patient, redemptive character of God? Or do they see the world reflected back to them? You know, in a sense, the world is still kind of tohu wabohu. People in their hearts without Jesus, feeling formless and empty, searching for anything that will fill that void that God alone will fill. When we follow Jesus, we are born again. He forms and fills the chaos of our hearts and gives us the capacity to overflow with love for other people. Reflect God's character in the world. Let them see the image of God through you. Yeah, let them see Him in all that you do. God created all things and made us in His image to care for His creation. Let's reflect Him to the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your creation, for the earth and the skies, for sunsets, for campfires, for friends and family. Thank You for creating us, Lord, to care for Your creation, to be just a little lower than the angels. God, I pray that that You will help us through this week as we see the world around us. Help us to see the world around us as Your creation. Give us eyes to recognize the beauty that You have put in it. Let us be reminded of Your goodness and character in the natural world around us. And then I pray, Lord, that You would work through us to reflect Your image to the world. When people look at us, let them see Your grace. Let them see Your goodness, Your self-sacrificial love. Thank You for every person, Lord. And I pray that You will help us to treat them with the dignity and respect and value that You made us all to have in the beginning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.